This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
And welcome back to the, I want to say the best sports podcast, but damn it, if you're listening to it, it's got to be one of the better ones because you have so many choices. And I'm glad you're choosing me. You swiped right on Tinder, baby. And here we are. We're a match for a sports podcast. But don't expect me to put out on the first date. I'm a lady, as Martin would say. It's your main man, Anmar Richardson, back for your drunk sports podcast. Thank you for once again tuning in. Someone told me, I think it was Jeff Ketchum told me, he said, man, I feel like you might have been drinking heavily in the last sports podcast. And I'm like, no, actually, I wasn't. That was just me on just natural fumes. I don't know what it was. I think I was just in a good mood. Maybe Texas being in a good mood. Might have gotten some over the weekend. Really happy about my vodka. Like all those type of things. Great things. Kids had went to school. Because you know what it's like, man. Dude, when you have kids, man, the weekends are tough because you have to deal with them 24/7. And when school rolls around on Monday, it's like you want to bring the car to a slow roll and just push their little asses out, right? Just get the hell out of here. Let the teacher take care of you for the next 8 hours. It's time for dad and mom to go day drinking, right? That's usually my thought process on Monday. So I probably had a lot of reasons to do why I was in a very, very good mood on Monday, but I'm in very good mood at the end of the week too, man. And kids are in school, so that definitely helps. I'm in my home studio recording. The guy I've told you about before, he's still out here working on the deck. So you're going to hear some noises. There's nothing I can do about that, but you're going to hear some drilling. You're going to hear some banging. Just imagine that I am taping the show with Chip and Johanna Gaines from Fixer Upper, right? And just make it into that visual, like, oh, he's over there trying to help him out with the accent wall. Like, that's lovely what Anwar is doing as he's trying to talk about the Longhorns. And he's doing it in Waco. It's sidebar. How many damn big-ass nice houses do they have in Waco? What's the price on these damn houses? They're definitely not Austin prices. Because I feel really, really ripped and feel really, really ripped off right now. Because this Austin housing market is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm jumping in as you guys are making your profit off of guys like me who moved to the state just a few years ago, recently, whatever the case may be. You guys got those homes for like $150, $180, sat on them for 8-10 years, and now you've thrown them out there for $300,000, $350,000. And like suckers like me have to come in and jump in and then hope like hell, like I can keep my job for like the next 10 years or so until these kids get out of school. Actually, I got an infant. So the next 18 years, I don't even know what the internet's going to look like 18 years from now. But yet I'm supposed to have like a $2,500 house payment. Like, golly, I'm going to be driving Uber and working for Instacart at this rate. Hey, I love you, Ketch. Just want to let you know I need my job. So anyway, man, we got Texas coming up. We got Texas versus TCU. We're definitely going to talk about that. We're definitely going to talk about the Gary Patterson effect. We're definitely going to talk about what this game means for Tom Herman. Actually, I tell you what, it's starting to rain. It's starting to rain outside. So it looks like that was the easiest way to get my little construction guy who's building that deck out there. He's almost done. He's had some rain delays, but he's packing up. So it doesn't look like we're going to have that problem, which, by the way, I've told you before, no way in hell that I'm going back there with a guy who works with his hands for a living, who's got saws and all type of machinery that can kill you, or at least be in some sort of horrific movie. I'm not telling that guy to be quiet. I'm sorry, bro. I have limits. Hey, man, ain't you from the hood? Don't you live? Listen, I did live in the hood. I grew up in the hood. You know what the hood gives you? Knowledge to know who to fuck with and who not to fuck with. And I understand that that's a dude that you don't mess with. Oh, yeah, by the way, if you're new to the Drunk Uncle podcast, I do use a little profanity. I am sorry. This is I probably should have told you this beforehand. If your kids are in the car, you might want to make sure they put maybe on some headphones, get on their iPad. You might not want to be playing this one in church. The pastor may not appreciate this, even though the pastor be drinking a little bit too. Pastor, don't let that stuff fool you, man. They're real people too. I will get a little rowdy. That's what I do. Once again, it's your drunk uncle. The best part about your drunk uncle is he's going to be entertained. He's going to show to that party. You don't know what he's going to say. You don't know what's going to come out of his mouth, but you're listening to every single word because your drunk uncle is just that fun. It's your drunk uncle Anwar. I just haven't had any drinks right now because I have to work tonight. Not happy about that. So you guys remember, right? I told you guys before about my elevator encounter. And I'll refresh you if you missed the last podcast. I told this on the Orange Bloods podcast. So I went to the Orange Bloods tailgate. I'm wearing a suit, right? You know, I'm suited up, man. I'm trying to look like I'm GQ, trying to look like I'm Diddy. Like, I'm trying to do the damn thing, right? And I go and meet everyone. It's hot as hell out there. You guys know what that humidity was like on Saturday in Austin. It was brutal, man. I felt like I was back in Florida when you just that humidity hits you at 8 a.m. and you just feel like, man, I got to take another shower, right? So that's where I was. I went to another part outside the stadium, Clarence Hill, one of my good friends who works for the Fort Worth Star Telegram. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. Cowboys Rider, been doing a damn thing for a long time. I go and hang out with him for a little bit. He wanted to catch up, so I talked to him. I decided it's time to get back in the stand because it's actually time to do work because this is what I'm here to do. This is my kind of part of my job. Now, the Orange Blood tailgate was definitely work-related, but the Clarence Hill one wasn't. So I decided, okay, let me go ahead and head back into the stadium. I get into the stadium elevator, right? And this guy, tells me, he's like, hey, man, I know who you are. And I'm like, cool. Because, you know, I've had people tell me they know who I are before. It happens quite often, right? And the guy tells me, he asked me a question. He goes, how long does it take for you to put those dumb little videos together? Right? All right. So if you listen. If you're listening to me right now, and you're probably on Orange Bloods, I do a column, right? And it's called the Sunday Pulpit. And it's basically me writing about Texas, my weekly column. But one of the things I'd like to do then for fun is I put in funny videos. And the whole gist of it is just to make you laugh, make you just enjoy yourself, and make yourself enjoy life. Like, we all go through a long week. We just go through long weeks, man. And sometimes you just need to smile. Like, sometimes you just need something just to like, okay, that's funny. And just get your week started or shake off some stuff. I mean, we're all dealing with crap, right? That's always a part of it. And overall, the videos are pretty funny. So he asked me how long it take to put the dumb ones together, right? So it's kind of a job. And I was like, ouch, that kind of hurt. And I was like, I spent a lot, inordinate amount of time kind of doing it because, you know, I want to make sure they're funny. I don't want people to say they're not funny. It kind of matters to a few people. So then, as I'm getting off the elevator, dude tells me, I don't like anything else you write, but I do like those videos. And the elevator shuts, right? And I didn't know what to say. Like, he caught me off guard. And I made a brief mention of him in my Sunday column. And he emailed me. And we talked a little bit back and forth. And he tried to clarify it. I'm not really quite sure he actually apologized for what he said. But I think he clarified. I think he meant what he said. You know, he probably had been tailgating, had that liquor courage in him. You know how it gets. People say what's on their mind after they had a few drinks. So he probably didn't say it. He tried to clear it up a little bit, and we're cool. You know, I'm not going to hold it against him, but I started thinking about, since I've been here in Austin, right, what are some of the more weird encounters that I've had with Longhorn fans? Because it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing for me, and it's I've had this happen for years, even when I covered the Bucks down in Tampa, worked in Detroit, worked at Yahoo. Did a lot of stuff on NBC when I was at Yahoo. Actually had like 2 weekly segments on NBC Sports back then. A shout out to NBC Sports. I'm pretty sure you guys are dead. Or if you are, like, no one knows where to find you. But if you want to be a sponsor, I would love you. Any case, so I remember when I got here one time, I was at the Pluckers on Lake Line. And went into the bathroom. Like, yeah, stay tuned for this one, right? You got to hear this one. So, because you want to know how this bathroom story is going to go, but it's not that great. But it's in the bathroom and do my thing, which, you know, okay, for the purpose of this story, it's not, you know, I took a leak and went and washed my hands. As I'm getting ready to come out, you know, and I had the paper towels, right? But the paper towel thing dries it a little bit. But you're still going to have a little moisture on there. It's like, you're just doing the best you can, right? And I'm about to walk out and this guy goes, oh my God, you're Anwar. I'm like, hey, what's up? And he's like, oh man, I love you. I love your stuff, man. I love everything that you do. I'm like, okay, cool. Do the kind of in the bathroom. Like we can talk outside, you know, but he's still, you know, he's in the moment. So, you know, hey, but listen, if people like you, that's a good thing. You want to take the positive reactions, right? So he's like, man, I just want to shake your hand. I was like, dude, I just washed my hands. I still got a little water on it, man. Like, it's not pee, but I don't, you know, you don't want to do a fist bump. We, you know, definitely do it. He goes, no, man. I just got to shake your hand, man. And he shook my slightly wet hand in the men's bathroom of Pluckers in Lakeline. Yeah, you know that face that you got right now? You're like, ugh. That's kind of how my face is right now. Like, ugh. That's kind of how his face should have been. He should have been like, ugh. We could have waited till we got outside, but he did that, and I don't know how you told this story to his friends. I hope he phrased it correctly. Like, I hope he didn't say stuff like, man, I met Anwar, got a hand job in the Pluckers Lakeline bathroom. Like, I hope he didn't say something like that. Like, I hope that's not how he uttered it. I hope he just like, hey, man, I met Anwar in Pluckers, man. And he was a cool dude. And I'm listening to the Yak right now. And I listened to him in Orange Buzz podcast. Shout out to my bathroom friend, right? Then, I remember I was doing lunch with Max Olson this year. I think it was back in like February or March or something like that. Went to a place called a J&J Barbecue and Burgers off I think it's Whitestone Boulevard up in Cedar Park. Good food, man. And like if you're up in the Cedar Park area, and I've become a foodie ever since I moved to Austin, and I've become that guy who's kind of got that dad bod because of Austin, like to get that 15 pounds that gets added on, that's me. So we're out there at J&J Barbecue and Burgers, right? And we're sitting down, we're eating. And you've ever been to J&J, you line up like most restaurants, right? But it's not a sit down per se where they serve you. You just kind of line up on a line and then you go get your food and you order it there. As we're sitting down and we're kind of talking and shooting the shit and stuff, this dude, his flash went off and the camera was aimed at me. But here's the thing. Here's how he kind of messed it up and gave himself away. So what he did was, imagine your phone, right? He put it down towards his leg, because I'm sitting down, right? So he was trying to be discreet and hit the button for his camera. But the problem is he didn't turn off the flash. So all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there eating, the flash goes off in my face. I see the guy's camera. I look up at him, but he acted like I don't see him. Like he's acting like I don't just know what just went down. Like, dude, you just took a picture of me. I saw the flash. My eyes are still a little bit blurry. I feel like I got punched. Like, what's going on? It's a darker place. Like, dude, you just did that. You just did that. That was kind of weird. I don't know what else to say to him, right? After that one. I felt like there's been a couple other. Oh, there was one other time I was on a date. I don't remember who I was. I don't know if it was my wife. I don't know if it was before her. If you talk to her and you see her in the podcast, don't mention this story because I just don't remember. It wasn't cheating, so that's the most important part. But it probably predates her. But anyway, we're in Austin and date night, right? Having a good time. I'm looking good. The girl, whoever I was with, is looking good. I'm just gonna assume she's looking good. Anyway, so I'm going to assume she's looking good. I was about to say something stupid, and that would have went over poorly. So, and she went to the bathroom. And when she went to the bathroom, at that moment, a Longhorn fan went and sat down in her seat and started talking to me about the Longhorns, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, what's up, man? And I'm thinking, okay, I'll entertain this person until she gets back from the bathroom, and then, you know, it'll be time to go. At least they'll understand it's time to go, right? She came back, and homeboy wouldn't get up. Like, she literally had to sit in another seat. So here I am. I'm in this weird situation, right? Because I don't view myself as a celeb. I don't view myself as anything special. I'm just a normal person, just like everybody else. I'm popular. Celebrities are rich. There's a totally big difference. You know who I am because, I cover the team. You hear me on radio. You see me in these other things. See me on Orange Bloods. But you know, celebrities are rich. So I don't view myself as a celebrity. I just view myself as a very popular person. And as a very popular person, I don't know what to do in the situations. Like, I don't know if I told, like, hey, homeboy, you got to get up, man. What actually happened was his girl came by and was like, look, it's there. You can clearly see they're on a date. Can you leave him alone? And then he got, it's just, I have some of the more unique encounters with folks, And by the way, the guy from the elevator, we're all cool. Like, I hopefully we'll see you on Saturday. And hopefully he not only will like the videos, he'll like some of the things that I wrote, and maybe he'll like some of the things on the podcast. Maybe that's why I'll tell him what he should do. Reparations. I want reparations. And as reparations for your insult, you need to sign up for the Yak. That's what I want. Reparations. Reparations for everyone who works at Orange Bloods. In fact, I need, instead of 40 acres, I need 40 subs. That's what I want for my reparations for your joke that landed so poorly. You know it's not a joke, though? Segway. TCU. Oh, my God. TCU is not a joke, man. And TCU is coming to DKR this weekend, and it's going to be a great game. Should be, hopefully. It's going to be a wet game. It's one of these games, though, if you start talking about it, guys. Like I feel like when it comes to covering the University of Texas, there's always a big game. Like every game is a big game. In fact, I've heard one person tell me one of the reasons that they feel that the Texas player struggles, and this is the person behind the scenes. They said because every game at Texas is a big game. Like every game at Texas is a big game, and every loss is like losing by a field goal in the Super Bowl. Like it is just life or death every single week here. And they feel like that's one of the reasons why players sometimes struggle. And that's one of the reasons why the coaching staff is trying to tell them, take it one game at a time. And this is the reason why you need to be 1-0. And this is the reason why we don't want you to look too far ahead. And we don't want you to get too far up. And, you know, don't get so focused on it's TCU or it's whoever. But don't you feel like so far this season, it's every game's been like the big game? Like, okay, we start off and it's Maryland. And it's a season opener. It's supposed to be redemption and of course, all the things that went into the offseason preparation. And then they lose that. But that was supposed to be a big game. So the next week is the big game because they're facing Tulsa. And they're facing Tulsa. And that's supposed to be the big game. But then you're like, all right, we got past you at the first two games, the 1-1. USC is the big game because you really need to see what USC has got going on. And then it's like, okay, now it's TCU's the big game because Gary Patterson's coming to town. And then next week is going to be like, hey, you know, Texas going on the road, man. Texas going at Kansas State. You know how Bill Snyder is against a Texas team. You know, that's going to be a big game. And then the following week is like, oh, man, you know who's coming in next? It's going to be Oklahoma. Oh, Oklahoma, boy, they got that Kyler Murray. Man. Oh, my God, they got a lot of weapons over there. Oh, that Lincoln Riley looking good. That's going to be a big game. And then depending on what has happened there, they're like, well, you know, the big game is for Baylor because they need to come out there and look good and perform good and do all the good things against Baylor. And then it's going to be, well, you know, Oklahoma State, they're going to be at Mike Gundy's house. And you know how that's always going to be. It's like every game is a big game. It's going to be like, you know, there's some good quarterbacks. Texas Tech's got a good quarterback. They lost against Texas Tech last year. That's a big game. I'm like, by the end of the year, it's going to be, hey, man, you know. Again, I don't want to hear anything about we got to get seniors to a bowl. Next coach who says that, I promise you, I'm going to be that guy who takes off the shoe, a.k.a. George Bush, a press conference, and start throwing it at the person behind the podium. I don't want to hear about seniors trying to get to a bowl game ever again. Tell me about the one player who's like, man, you know what? I was going to play hard this year, but I decided not to. But you know what? Two games left, man. We got to get these seniors to a bowl, bro. And you know what? That's when we need to really play hard. Yeah, man, you know what? I wasn't been playing hard either, but shit, now you think about it, Charles Amenihu needs to go to a bowl game. Yeah. Let's go play hard now. Okay, so anyway, so we're talking about the big game, as they would say, Jerry. The big game. It is a big game. It's a huge game. It is huge. You can't, and all jokes aside, let's just talk about it for a second. 2014. 48-10 TCU. 2015, 50-7 TCU. 2016, 31-9. 2017, 24-7. Gonna go back to that because I mentioned that on Monday, but you guys know those numbers. Since I've been here, and look, I mentioned this on the Orange Bloods podcast. And so, yes, sometimes there's going to be a little bit of overlap, but it's okay. You know, sometimes you watch something on ESPN and you watch a talking head say something and get on radio and it kind of say the same couple of things. Or you flick from Fox to sports and it kind of say the same couple of things. There's going to be a little bit of overlap, but it's okay, but as long as it's good stuff, right? I remember that TCU game, because first of all, it's the first time in Fort Worth. I'd never been there. And the season wasn't going well. And I remember what I will just never forget in my sports memory, and I got a lot of them. I've said this before. I covered Tyson when he lost against Lennox Lewis in Memphis. I was there for David Tyree and his catch. I was there when Ben Roethlisberger hits a guy in the back of the end zone and wins a Super Bowl. I've seen a lot of big things. I've seen some Final Fours, and I have a lot of things in my memory, a lot of things that kind of jumbled up in my memory. But this game in particular will always be there because I will just remember TCU scoring on every possession and Texas being down 30-0 and seeing pictures of Charlie Strong looking up at the scoreboard after touchdown, and me thinking, what the hell is this? Like, that's why I thought, I was like, what the hell am I watching? What am I witnessing? Like, what is this crap? TCU, you know, Ketch wrote something I thought was really good analogy, metaphor, whichever one it's supposed to be. I don't know. I'm old. I'm too old to start remembering all those things, man. It's all jumbled together right now. But he wrote something really good on Sunday, his 10 thoughts for the weekend. And he used that Life, the movie Life with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence. And as they're in prison and there's a guy, and I forget the character's name, but essentially he's trying them and said, are you going to eat your cornbread? And Martin is willing to give up his cornbread because it's his first day in jail, their first day in jail. But, you know, Eddie Murphy's saying, listen, man, if you give up your cornbread today, you're going to have to give up your cornbread the entire time. And so that is the time where Eddie Murphy basically says, and I wish I had character names, but I don't have time to look it up. I apologize. It's off the top of my head. It's your drunk uncle. And Eddie Murphy decides, listen, I'm not getting up my cornbread, and we're going to go out and we're going to fight. And now Eddie gets his ass whooped, but he also gained the respect of everybody in that prison because he stood up for himself. And TCU has been that guy who has looked at Texas and said, you going to eat that cornbread? You probably did a little bit better than me. But and Texas has got to be that team that comes out and fight. Listen, Texas has to be the team that comes out and fight. You want them to be the team that comes out and wins. But at minimal, they have to be the team that comes out and shows a good fight. Because it can't be what I saw in 2015. Like, it cannot be. When you talk about scenarios that should or could or can or should not happen, the one scenario, I always talk about scenarios, right? We hear me talk about this a lot on the podcast. I talk about scenarios. The scenario that cannot happen is there cannot be an ass whooping. It cannot be an ass whooping at all. I'm talking about if this team is going to lose and they're going to go out, they've got to go out swinging. And I don't care if the game is 10-7. I don't care if it's 13-10. You can live with that. You can live with that. But if you get an ass whooping, now I'm talking about 48-10, 50-7, and you just look like you don't belong. It's a tough situation for Tom Herman. It's a tough situation because here's what you do know. You know where this team really is at. Because first and foremost, by week four, you're always going to know where a team is at, especially in the college football season. Like, you're just going to know. You're going to have a good idea where this team is at. And at 2-2, but with an ass whooping against TCU, you're going to know that this is still a middle of the pack kind of team, that you're going to be optimistic that they can get to 7 or 8 wins, but you're going to know the team is still a year or two away and Texas is going to have to kick that can down the road and hope for better days ahead. Now, that's your doomsday scenario. Let's talk about other scenarios that won't be as bad. Let's talk about the scenario that every Texas fan wants, which is a win. And again, a win is a win. I feel like this, and for Texas right now, there's no such thing as style points when it comes to wins. I don't want to hear that they should win by 20. I don't want to hear they should win by 30. I don't want to hear that. And I'm not obviously not talking about TCU. I don't care if Texas wins this game 6-3. At this point, Texas needs to have wins. They need to stockpile wins. Doesn't matter how you win. It's like when you play fantasy football, right? And so you ever have those weeks in fantasy football when you play, and this will hit home for a lot of guys. Ever have a week when you look at the scoreboard and there's been one team that won 180 to 174 and another team maybe that won like 200 to like 160. And then there's like maybe another team that won, you know, let's say 165 to like 125. And then you beat somebody like 70 to 64. Right? Some craziness like that, where there's teams out there that scored 100 more than you, and there's teams out there that did the damn thing, and they're like feeling great, and their points for and points against is like the metrics are amazing, and you have your 70-64 victory. But you know what? You take it, because you don't look at it and say, oh man, sure wish I would have scored 200. Sure wish I would have scored 180. Sure wish I would have scored a lot. What do? You say, you know what? All that matters is I won. That's all that matters is I beat the opponent in front of me, and I got a victory. And that's all you care about. And that's what all that Texas needs to be caring about. They don't need to care about style points. They don't need to care about how good it looks or how pretty it looks. At this point, at this juncture, when you're going into conference play, at the end of the day, all that's going to count and all we're going to think about is the wins and the losses. And if Texas can pull off a win, as I keep saying, by hook or crook, if Texas pulls off a win, style points be damned, take that 3-1 mark and keep it going as you travel on the road to Kansas State. Because think about it. I said this before on Monday, but you guys know the stat. Texas hasn't won 3 straight games since 2014. 2014. We had a different president then, didn't we? Probably some different state reps. I mean, you got to help me out, right? I mean, like, so much has changed since 2014. I mean, it's not that so long ago we could do those, like, comparisons with like gas in 1973 versus gas in 2018 and milk, the price of milk and you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to do that type of comparison, right? But it's been a while. It's been a while. And we're talking about Texas having a chance, or I say chance, opportunity to possibly go win three games, 3 straight games, and then get that momentum started. I think a win in this game for Tom Herman becomes that signature win that he has been clamoring for and has desperately wanted since he's got here at Texas. At the end of the day, and I've told you this in the previous podcast, the USC win, you have to take it at face value. You have to say it's a win, because at the end of the day, Texas is not good enough to look down on any win where this program is right now. I don't want to hear anything about, well, they're just not that good. Well, damn it, Texas just isn't that good as of this moment. They may be good as the season goes and progresses, and they may be great by the end of the year. But right now, you can't look down on any victory. You just can't. And by the way, if you're a Texas fan, be happy where you're at, because you could be a Florida State fan, and that would suck. Right? I mean, you could be a Nebraska fan and feel like you had a home run hire. Like, you hired a guy who's going to do the damn thing and wake up and feel like, damn, where the hell are we at? what just happened to us? You know what I'm saying? So count your blessings, because things could be definitely worse. Gary Patterson could make it worse, but this is the moment that Tom Herman is supposed to rise up. This is supposed to be his moment. This is supposed to be the moment where Tom Herman tells Gary Patterson, go back to that purgatory of being known as TCU. Not the Gary Patterson who comes in here and says, we have 5-1 in our last 6 games versus the University of Texas. But the Gary Patterson that comes in and Tom Herman says, you know what? You're TCU. It was cute, but it's our time now. Like, this is the time that Tom Herman comes in and he leads an offense that looks good. And he can look to the people and say, you know what? We're doing it. we're getting this offense to where it needs to be. We finally got that offensive identity that I so desperately wanted. This is where Todd Orlando, once again, Todd Orlando is that guy where we think he's that dude. I mean, we all think Todd Orlando is a future head coach. This is the game that Todd Orlando's defense has their signature moment. Like that, these are the things that need to happen. We're not even talking about the Sam Ehlingers and all that. I'm talking about from a coaching perspective. From a coaching perspective, because Gary Patterson is a hell of a coach. I don't think there's not a single person out there who's going to say Gary Patterson can't coach. Oh, that boy can coach. Oh, boy, that boy good. Oh, that boy good. Oh, Gary Patterson's good. Because Gary Patterson does an amazing, the development that they do over at TCU is unprecedented. It's unprecedented. The guys that he puts in the NFL consistently, amazing. Gary Patterson has a system, and he finds guys that can fit his system. He's not a star chaser. Are they rivals 5-star, rivals 4-star? He goes after those guys. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's got a quarterback that some rankings may have had him as a 5-star. He was a high ranked quarterback. Some had him as a 3-star. But Gary Patterson does a damn thing, and this is where Tom Herman, with all of his coaching expertise, this is where Tom Herman rises up and has that moment like he had, or moments like he had when he was. It was what Texas fans were waiting. Those moments that he had when he was at Houston, when we all watched those Houston games and said, "Damn, they're kicking the crap out of Oklahoma. How the hell are they doing that? Damn, they're beating down Louisville. Who the hell is this team? Damn, they're doing that to Florida State in a bowl game. That boy's good." That is what Tom Herman needs to do and has to have happen in this game. Because if it doesn't happen, then we just start kicking the can down the road again. And you guys know what that, you know what that looks like. Well, now we just got to get a victory in the Big 12, and it begins with Kansas State, their tough opponent. And then it's, you got to find a way to beat OU and still be in the mix. And, you know, and then it just becomes another season, but it doesn't become that special season. It doesn't become the one that you build off of. And then next year is, well, we lost a lot of seniors, so we got to play a lot of young guys. No. This is it. And something has to happen in that locker room where guys look at each other and they know, okay, you know, I understand they're telling us 1-0. I understand that they're telling us don't look ahead and don't look behind, but stay focused on where we're at this week. I understand that they're saying stay level-headed. I understand what they're telling us. Hey, guys, just focus on TCU and don't think about the past. But damn it, man, if there ever was a game where they should come outside that box for a second and start thinking about what happened previously, this is the game. This is the damn game where they got to look at it and say, you know what, guys? We've been getting our asses whooped. Like, they've been beating us down. This is that game where all types of movies are made of. The team, the person, your karate kid who's getting beat up by the Cobra Kai guys and finally has a breakthrough. Like, that has to be it. Oh, my God. I just did a movie reference. Like, I'm catch. Like, what the hell just happened here? I'm not a movie reference guy, but it has to be something like that. It has to be that moment where you're so tired. What did it say? You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. In Texas, the University of Texas, they got to be sick and tired of getting their asses whooped. They got to be sick and tired of walking around this state knowing that TCU owns them. Not beats them, owns them. Like, it would do them some good to show them some scores. Maybe you don't have to. Maybe just a reminder. Is this what you want? Is this what you want to be? Or do you want to be the team that everyone loves? Well, they love you, but you want to be the team that's respected in the state and feared throughout the state. Do you really want to put the T back in Texas? Or is the T in Texas going to be at TCU? And it's up to Tom Herman, who's the capital T in this equation, to deliver that victory. Now, last thing. What's going to be my prediction? You know me right now. Seeing's believing. Are there ways that Texas can win this game? Oh, absolutely. Texas has a good chance. You know what? If they get some defensive turnovers, if they get some scores on defense, maybe something on special teams, those type of things, absolutely, they have a shot. They have a shot to win every game, to be honest with you. But until we see it, it's hard to predict it. Now, they win this game, and baby, Texas 3-1, going, and now you're at Kansas State, get that ball rolling. Oh, if they win this game, I say that if they win this game, I might come out and say they're going to be in the Big 12 championship at the end of this year. That's how much and that's how big this game is. But I'm not going to predict the win. I think I'll predict a close loss. But you know what, Texas? Feel free to surprise me. Feel free to surprise us all. And again, a win's a win, baby. If it's 3-0, all that we're going to talk about is this is a 3-1 team that beat TCU 3-0, and no one's going to care at that point. Well, wish me luck. This is the end of your Drunk Uncle podcast. I will have to get in that elevator on Saturday. Ain't no telling what people are going to say to me. It's all good. I know telling where people are going to approach me. It's all good. It's all love. Just always remember, it's all love. I love everybody. Well, okay. There's some people I actually don't like. I'll be honest with you. There's some people I really dislike in this world. But overall, I love them. I like the majority of people. I ain't going to lie. But I can't say I love everybody. I ain't that good yet. Nah. God ain't done with me yet. God, just pray for my strength in the Lord. Because right now, there's some people right there that I can definitely push in that fire. But that being said, wish me luck as I get on that elevator. Hopefully, Texas gets through that fire that they're going to have to face with the name of TCU. Hopefully, to come out with a victory. But until then, it's your main man, Anwar Richardson. Once again, thank you for listening. Check out all the great content on the Yak. You've got to do it, man. Like, if you're here, you got to tell your friends about it. Tell them to sign up. Don't be cheap and give them your login, man. Come on. People got to eat, man. We got families. You know how many kids I got? I got so many kids, I don't know their damn names. I make them wear name tags. That's how many kids I have. And that's why I need you to make sure you sign up for the Yak so my kids eat, man. Yeah, and I got a son, man. He's 3 months old. He weighs 18 pounds. Come on, man. He's eating a lot. Okay, he's being breastfed. But that's beside the point. I still got to feed mama. So make sure you sign up for the Yak. Make sure you tell your friends about it. Make sure you get there on Orange Bloods. You have a fantastic staff of talented writers with Jeff Ketchum, Alex Dunlap with his analysis, Jason Sukumel with his recruiting updates, Dustin McComas, who is kind of the master and jack of all trades, and we got basketball season that's coming up soon, and baseball around the corner. Make sure you check out all the great, of course, myself. I mean, can't leave out your boy. Can't leave out the kid. You know, make sure you check me out, you know, on the Sunday Pulpit, here on the Yak, here on the Orange Blood Podcast, occasional radio appearances, and I'm also the guy that you'll see in the Plucker's bathroom. Feel free to shake my hand. Won't bother me at all.